Thank you. Welcome back. It's 6 minutes past the hour. Thrilled to report it is Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. And we have a wonderful doctor standing by on our Hurley in the Morning Newsmaker hotline, Dr. Zeeshan Khan, pulmonologist and the medical director at Deborah Institute for Sleep Medicine. Our topic this half hour is sleep apnea, and you're going to learn a lot about this as the doctor puts on a very listenable clinic. Let me just tell you a little bit about Dr. Khan, a pulmonologist I mentioned, board certified in pulmonary disease, critical care medicine, and sleep medicine, so triple threat. Dr. Khan earned his medical degree at Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine in Erie, Pennsylvania. After medical school, Dr. Khan completed both his residency in internal medicine and fellowship in pulmonary disease and critical care medicine at the UMDNJ. He went on to complete a fellowship in sleep medicine at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. Khan's special interests include sleep disorders, hypersomnia, advanced diagnostic, endobronchial ultrasound, and critical care. He has authored numerous articles in peer-reviewed medical journals, and he holds the leadership position of the medical director at DeBoer's Institute for Sleep Medicine, Specialty Training, Pulmonary Disease and Critical Care Medicine, UMDNJ, Sleep Medicine, Emory University, Atlanta, Georgia. As I mentioned, and again, board certified in three different areas, sleep medicine, critical care medicine, pulmonary disease, residency internal medicine at UMDNJ, special interests, sleep disorders, hypersomnia, and all the critical care and all the mentions that I mentioned previously. Dr. Khan, welcome, and we have a lot to talk about this half hour. Great to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure being on, and I look forward to our discussion.
Fantastic. We'll get right into it then. What is sleep apnea?
Yeah, so sleep apnea, basically what it means in layman's terms is that you stop breathing while you're sleeping for short periods of time, and it can be either complete block, you know, where you're stopping breathing, or it can be where you're kind of shallow breathing as well.
So that's the kind of thing where you're not getting good restorative sleep because you're in basically a survival war because you breathe, then you stop breathing, then hopefully you breathe again. I'm not sure if it was actually sleep apnea. I think it was. There was a great Olympic champion. She still has the world record, as a matter of fact, in one of the sprint distances. I think it's the 200. Florence Griffith Joyner, she died one night when she stopped breathing and didn't wake up and start breathing again.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with her story, but you're right. Many people, famous people. Another one is Reggie White.
Yes.
Has been documented to have that issue.
Eagle and Green Bay Packer. Great. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So it's a very common condition, you know, and unfortunately it's very under-recognized by just the general public and obviously even healthcare providers.
Are there symptoms?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the most common symptoms that people have are they have issues with snoring. Then many people, like you said, because of their sleep quality being so poor, they wake up feeling tired. They feel sleepy during the day. There are definitely some people who literally wake up gasping for air, or their bed partner tells them, you know, that I see some breathing pauses and I'm not sure if you're breathing. And then, you know, headaches, all these different symptoms can be associated with sleep apnea, headaches, going to the bathroom multiple times per night, especially, it can manifest in its way. But those are the most common symptoms.
So people that have this, they're in this tug of war all night. They're breathing, they're not breathing for these short bursts. You know, then thankfully they start to breathe again. But you can have an event where you don't wake up, you stop breathing, and you expire, you die.
Yeah. I mean, so unfortunately, sleep apnea not being treated has been linked to, usually what happens is that unfortunately these people suffer from a massive heart attack because of that stress. So you're right. They're pretty much having a stress test every night they're sleeping. Even though sleep is supposed to be a time when our body's supposed to heal and recover, people who have sleep apnea are kind of undergoing the stress recurrent over multiple times per hour, and it just takes a toll on the heart and the rest of the body.
Very relatable way that you just explained that, Dr. Khan. What are the causes of sleep apnea?
So the most common cause for sleep apnea, especially when we talk about sleep apnea, most of us are referring to obstructive sleep apnea. But basically what happens is your windpipe gets either narrow or closes off. So there's some kind of structural problem. Some people kind of have kind of a narrow you know, whether their jaw is naturally sitting back or everything in the throat is kind of tight together. But basically that airway collapses, and that's what the primary causes of that.
If someone is either dealing with this or they think they're dealing with it, they're listening to you right now, is it better to be a side sleeper, to sleep on your back? Does that play any role in this?
It can, definitely. So when people are on their back, typically gravity does its thing and pushes, you know, more on the airway and causes issues. So sleeping on the side can help, but unfortunately for many people, it's not curative in the sense that it's not going to eliminate the apnea, but it may make it better. Sometimes lifting or raising the head of your bed can help a little bit. But obviously the treatments, you know, once you're diagnosed, I'm sure we're going to get into it. It's you got to be kind of, you know, obviously some kind of medical treatment for that.
And we will, for sure. We're building a mosaic here with Dr. Khan, our distinguished guest this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. Dr. Zeeshan Khan, who is talking about sleep apnea this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. So a lot of people have heard the term sleep apnea. They probably think there's one type. You have sleep apnea, it's one thing. Are there different types of sleep apnea?
Yes, there are. So again, sleep apnea, generally speaking, for most people's understanding, especially when we use it kind of generally loosely, is typically referred to obstructive sleep apnea, which is the most common type, which we talked about. But there's also something called central sleep apnea, and that can be found in people who have a lot of cardiac issues, heart failure, or a stroke. So what happens is the signaling to the brain of taking a deep breath can be altered, and that pretty much what happens is your brain is not telling you to take a deep breath, and that can happen for some people. Then there's, you know, something called a mixed apnea, which can be kind of a combination of those two things. But those are the main typically type of apneas we speak of.
If you snore, does that by definition say that you have a sleep disorder?
So that's an excellent question. You know, the new classification of snoring, technically it is technically a disorder, but most of us believe it's not harmful to you, right? So basically snoring, what it means is, again, there's some kind of narrowing along either starting from your nose or mouth to the back of the throat. And, you know, some people can snore obviously because of the sleep apnea, but many people can snore if they have, you know, chronic nasal congestion or sinusitis or, you know, a deviated septum or something like that, or big tonsils. But most of us, again, the research doesn't suggest that it's harmful to your health if you just snore and don't have sleep apnea.
Wow.
But it's an annoyance to your bed partner, but yeah.
Exactly. What are the factors that increase the risk of sleep apnea? Yeah, maybe you talked about some of them.
Yeah. So the main factors that increase the chances for sleep apnea are, number one, is as in life, as we all get older, the risk goes up. Unfortunately, men are at twice the risk of females. You know, but once interesting enough, once women pass menopause, then that risk actually becomes almost equivalent. So there's some hormonal relationship. Then people with, you know, some kind of weight issues, many times as we get the weight goes up with obesity, that has been linked to sleep apnea. And a lot of us believe, again, that the tissue, not just getting around the belly and everywhere else, it actually gets deposited around the back of the throat and the tongue, which can make the airway tighter. Certain medications, alcohol can obviously increase the risk. And then what we say cranial facial abnormalities. So, you know, again, we talked about your chin sitting back, big tonsils, big tongue, all these things can be linked to sleep apnea.
Are these mouth guards that put the jaw or the, I don't know what I'm saying, but I've seen them. Can they help open the airway, that type of thing?
So that's an excellent question. Yes, there are mouth guards, but the ones that typically work are what we call oral appliances that are made by a sleep dentist.
Yes.
But the ones that you buy like online, or you may see them on Amazon or Walmart or whatever it may be, unfortunately, you know, those biting blocks, we throw them in hot water and they boil them and then you wear them. They unfortunately do not work for sleep apnea. I mean, they may help a little bit with snoring, but yeah, it doesn't actually treat the sleep apnea.
Yeah, they might help you not grind your teeth and lose, you know, the tooth, that way.
Right.
But I hear you loud and clear, Dr. Khan. Now, it would seem to me if you're a single person and no one's there but you, diagnosis could be very tricky. You know, it's sort of your normal, you know, this is how you sleep. You know, you don't even know anything is going on. You don't know you stopped. I guess if you woke up and you're like, and you're catching your breath, you know, you're completely like, you know, startled from it. Maybe you pick up on something. But is diagnosis many times the person's significant other saying, hey, you know, like some of the things you said earlier, Dr. Khan, like, hey, I wasn't sure if you were breathing and you woke up, you know, choking or gag. So how do you diagnose it?
Yeah. Again, that's a wonderful question that you're asking. I mean, so you're right. If you've been suffering from this condition, number one, for many years, to you, this is probably a normal thing, right? So you're not, you just think that most people have this issue, but obviously it is a problem. Many times the bed partner, when we, you know, they come to the office to see me, they're the ones who are kind of dragging their partner in and saying, listen, I see this going on all night and this is what concerns me. So that definitely, they can definitely help get to the diagnosis. But yeah, people, especially who live by themselves or older individuals, you know, who maybe they're widows or whatever it may be, they unfortunately don't know about these things. But again, that's why we always tell just having the general awareness. And if you have risk factors like we talked about, or if you have a lot of medical conditions, heart conditions, blood pressure, diabetes, all these things have also been linked to sleep apnea. So it's always good to be aware and ask. But, you know, typically the diagnosis is done after you see a sleep physician or a medical doctor and they kind of pursue a sleep test.
We are already at the halfway point. We only take one break during Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. We're going to go in just a moment, but I want to squeeze this in because I think it's important. Is there any heredity factors to this? If your father, your mother, is this familial, this type of thing, or is it, you know, just person to person?
Yeah, no, definitely. There's been a lot of research in terms of genetics and family history. So, you know, we get a lot of these patients that say, you know, my whole family, my parents, my grandparents were these, you know, crazy snorers and the whole house would shake. And you know, those are kind of some signs and symptoms that they probably had sleep apnea, most likely. And unfortunately, you know, because we didn't know what sleep apnea was 100 years ago, you know, people, or 50 years ago, the lack of understanding was not there. People were not diagnosed.
Such an important topic, and we're going to come right back to it in just a few minutes. So please don't go away. Dr. Zeeshan Khan, the pulmonologist, talented, and the distinguished medical director of the Deborah Institute for Sleep Medicine, continues our topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. Dr. Khan, is sleep apnea to make an appointment? And I'm telling you, I didn't go through it as a patient, but I went through it in my capacity as their former television host of their program and for over 30 years, the radio program that we've done with Deborah Heart and Lung Center. I have seen the whole kit and caboodle. It is amazing. There's so many options. They've had great programs in the past where you actually sleep overnight there and you are treated and monitored and all these things. We're going to get into home type treatment that's available in diagnostics. So we'll talk all about that when we come back. And yes, I know a lot of people listening right now, you see these different things on TV, these appliances, the face masks and people that rip them off and all this stuff. You know, what are the treatments for sleep apnea as we continue right after this with Dr. Khan? I am respectfully yours.
Early in the morning, WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM.
500.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins this afternoon at 1. Now, Harry Hurley on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Thank you. We continue at 25 minutes past the hour with Dr. Zeeshan Khan. And Dr. Khan is a pulmonologist, the medical director at Deborah Institute for Sleep Medicine. And let me share with you, and we'll share it a few times here in the final about 11 minutes that we have with Dr. Khan, to schedule an appointment. You can do so digitally, works beautifully, demanddeborah.org from any digital device. You'll see the speed button hyperlink to scheduling an appointment. Very, very simple to do. If you prefer to do it by phone, you can do that easily as well. 609-621-2080. 609-621-2080. I always try to remember to say to you that if you hear one of our expert doctors like Dr. Khan put on these clinics, these free clinics are amazing, don't suffer in silence. Give the call and make the appointment. 609-621-2080 or demanddeborah.org. So we're getting to the point now, a lot of important background information and all the other important information that Dr. Khan shared. Now we're getting into the treatment aspect of our interview with Dr. Khan. What are the common treatments for sleep apnea?
Sure. So one of the most common treatments that many people may have heard about is something called CPAP. It's where that people wear that mask to bed while they're sleeping. And the basic idea behind that is it's a machine that generates a pressure and it blows air in so your windpipe doesn't clog. So it works really well conceptually. Problem is it can be uncomfortable for many people, unfortunately, because of the mask, the apparatus, the tubing. But many people can get used to it. And I think the most important thing to emphasize to people is that, you know, you may hear stories from other people about whether they had either a great experience or not a great experience. But I always tell people you have to have kind of your own assessment and try it yourself to figure out how it works for you. And there's many different things in terms of styles and settings on the machine that have evolved over time, which have made it a little bit leaner and easier to use. So that's one of the main treatments. Obviously, if people are overweight, we recommend, you know, obviously improving their diet, exercise, and sometimes weight loss can treat and cure sleep apnea. There are some surgical techniques which can be done to, you know, manipulate the airway, but, you know, many times for most people, they're not candidates. There's also an oral appliance, like we talked about earlier, that is designed by the dentist for people who have mild to moderate sleep apnea, which advances the jaw, which can work pretty well. And the final thing that I'll mention is many people have come in with the commercial nowadays with something called the Inspire, which is that remote that people talk about. But obviously that remote is connected to something, and that it's a, we call a pacemaker that runs a wire to your tongue and advances your tongue every so often. So in some people who have apnea, their tongue is the issue, and that can help with that.
Wow, very interesting. So we've talked a lot over the years about the Deborah Institute for Sleep Medicine, and I know we've had many of our listeners that have gone through the program and have really talked very, very favorably about it. Can a sleep study be done at home where you don't have to go to your institute?
Yes. That's actually pretty common occurrence now, especially depending on the insurance coverage and everything. But many times if people are generally healthy and have no serious medical issues like heart issues or lung issues, they are able to do the test at home. And the test we offer through our clinic and through Deborah is almost like this watch-like device, which is very easy to use, and it Bluetooths to your phone. And it's disposable, so you wear it when you go to bed, and then you dispose of it or recycle it the next day once we confirm that we've gotten the data. And it makes it very convenient for many people.
And that data will show how many times you stop breathing during the night?
Correct. As long as the data and the probes and everything stay put through the night, it can register and tell us if the person has sleep apnea. But unfortunately, if it comes back kind of inconclusive, then they still have to come to the lab. But definitely it's option for many people. Yes,
important to go over that. I'm glad that you did. Now, this is not to scare any of our listeners straight or anything like that. I just think it's a really important question. I think this has come up indirectly and even a bit directly during the past 30 minutes, but I want to treat it as a standalone question. What can happen if sleep apnea goes untreated?
So there's two main consequences that we talked about. One is, if you think about it medically speaking, purely medical speaking, and in terms of getting health implications, it can put a lot of pressure on your heart. So unfortunately, it's been linked to what we talked about, heart attacks, strokes, arrhythmias, especially people have atrial fibrillation. Many times they can keep re-triggering that AFib. Hypertension, diabetes, I mean, the list goes on in terms of medical issues that have been linked to untreated sleep apnea, as sleep apnea being, again, a trigger, maybe not the cause, but definitely a trigger and making things worse. And then we talk about symptomatically, you hear about, unfortunately, these car accidents, truck accidents, ship accidents, train accidents. You hear them all over the news all the time when people have sleep apnea and it's untreated. So it has a public health implication, too, in terms of drowsy driving and, like we talked about, just feeling not well during the day.
All right, so I didn't want this segment to end without getting an award for being Captain Obvious, but I want to pose this question. In terms of sleep apnea, does that prevent you from achieving the REM stage and getting restorative sleep? Because I don't know how often it happens. I'm sure it varies with different people, but if you're having this happen multiple times throughout the night, there's a very good chance you've never really gotten any type of restorative deep sleep. Fair comment?
Yeah. No, that's a very accurate comment, actually. For many people, when we do the testing, we see it. I mean, that patients never go into that deep sleep, or they may go into it for maybe a few minutes, and then they're interrupted by the apnea, and that's what resets the whole brain. But usually most of us go into our sleep cycles every 90 to 120 minutes. So as you can imagine, if you're having at least 5 episodes per hour for sleep apnea, it just disrupts everything and just throws everything kind of all over the place.
Wow. And then, you know, then it affects your whole quality of life. And as you mentioned, it can bring on all these other problems with your heart and other maladies because you're not getting restorative sleep. So it's really just, it can spiral you downward in such a horrific way. And yet with DeBoer Heart and Lung Center, with the Sleep Institute, there's no reason to suffer in silence. You can be treated, you can be, you know, observed. You get observed over the night if you go in, and really you can get a handle on this so very well by scheduling an appointment at demanddebora.org or by phone 609-621-2080. This is something I know that you care deeply about. You talk about it. Prevention, obviously, is so important. With the issue of sleep apnea, can you actually prevent sleep apnea? Is that within our power to prevent it?
Yeah, so that's kind of a great question again. And the answer to that is kind of yes and no. But, I mean, again, if things are related to what we talked about on your position, if it gets worse on your back, avoid your back if you can't head upright. For many people, weight can be an issue, so healthy lifestyle is important. But unfortunately, for most people, even if you do that, you're still going to unfortunately have sleep apnea, and you have to get it treated. And that's why we were so persistent about, you know, getting it addressed, because unfortunately, 10, 20, 30, 40 years of having it just takes a toll on the body.
When you have people that come to the DeBoer Institute for Sleep Medicine, what could you say to them right now in terms of maybe overcoming some kind of, you know, concern that they have? Oh, my God, I have enough trouble sleeping at home. How am I going to sleep in this medical setting? Can you talk about that for a moment?
Yeah. So the sleep lab that we have, it's a beautiful facility. It's relatively new. And, you know, it's a private room, private bathroom. And it's definitely intimidating, like you're saying, but I assure you our technicians are very friendly and comforting. And most sleep labs, they understand that, you know, it's not going to be your typical night of sleep. But, you know, as long as we get a few hours of good documented sleep and we can see what's going on, if you see the sleep apnea, it makes it a huge difference, because the data we get from that versus obviously other testing, the home testing, is a huge difference. So it's something to kind of definitely consider and address.
Yeah, and I have a friend, he might be listening right now, that loves your show, but also went through the DeBoer Institute for Sleep Medicine and had nothing but rave reviews about the atmosphere that was created for him. You make something that is unnatural as natural as you can possibly make it, which is quite an achievement. And I would encourage anyone, the reason I brought that question up, it was a wild card question, is because I don't want you to not call 609-621-2080 or demanddebora.org because you have some predetermined notion that this is something that, you know, is unnatural and you won't be able to sleep. They really do such a great job to bring you at a very comfortable level. Final question, and anything you want to share, the time will be yours, Dr. Khan. Why should someone see a sleep specialist at DeBoer Heart and Lung Center?
Yeah, I mean, so DeBoer has a rich history in terms of treating people with lung and heart issues, obviously, and sleep apnea. The sleep lab's been there for many years, and we have, you know, excellent physicians that have been dealing with sleep disorders for quite a while. And I like to say we have a comprehensive sleep institute, in the sense that we treat sleep apnea, but we treat any sleep disorder, and anybody's welcome to come if they have any issues, and we're always willing to do what we can to help.
And I want to remind our listeners, if you're just tuning in, to make an appointment, demanddebora.org, any digital device, or you can schedule an appointment by phone by calling 609-621-2080. That concludes our discussion about sleep apnea, and it couldn't be any better of a guest that we could wish for in the medical director himself of the DeBoer Institute for Sleep Medicine, Dr. Zeeshan Khan. Dr. Khan, thank you. Honored to present you, and you've really imparted a lot of very helpful information. We thank you for it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir. That is Dr. Khan. I am Hurley in the Morning. A surprise segment coming up next. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be right back. It is the Hurley in the Morning program. This is WPG Talk Radio 95.5.